Lord, you are the water of life. Flow from heaven into our hearts that we may never go thirsty. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Do take a seat. Many people ask me about healing on quite a regular occurrence, and particularly to talk about prayer for healing. I'm not sure if it's because I talk about it so much that people ask me, or if it's because people ask me that I talk about it so much, but one is connected to the other, I'm sure. When people ask me about healing, there is always a sense of caution and wariness in both the asking of the question and in my response. We seem as human beings to treat this conversation with due reverence. And I have been wondering, preparing for this sermon and particularly for the service afterwards at the 11 o'clock, where we'll be baptizing someone, about why it is that healing is such a cautious subject. Why is it that when we ask about healing and when we talk about healing, it becomes so emotive and personal? There is the experience of pain that we all know. We have all had times when we have longed for healing, be that physical, emotional, mental. And not only have we experienced it, but we've experienced it of loved ones. And in amongst all of that, there is disappointment, there's anger, there's frustration, there's sadness. And so when we hear stories of healing, when we consider miraculous healings in not only in the scriptures but in history and even in modern day, there is a sense in which we receive the news with maybe a bit of cynicism, a bit of pain. The reality is that at the heart of the conversation of healing is a deeper question which stops so many people from coming to faith. And that is the question, why do bad things happen to good people? An almost unanswerable question. But it remains unanswerable because I think the question is wrong. Firstly, bad things. Actions, events, don't have a morality attached to them. I hope it's not too flippant to make an analogy, but when I moved to Yorkshire, many moons ago now, from the south, I would often complain about the bad weather, to which a typical Yorkshire man said to me, there's no such thing as bad weather, there's just bad clothing. Weather isn't bad, but we often associate and project onto it its good and bad value. I think it's the same with events and things. We make judgments about what is good and bad depending on our own worldview. So there's questions about why do bad things happen. But equally, there's questions over what we mean by good people. There is this sense that we know what makes someone good. In the scriptures, Jesus is approached and called good teacher, to which Jesus, the Son of God, says, I am not good, only my heavenly Father is good. There is a sense in which we pass judgment on goodness, but I think we are lowering the bar. Because for me, engaging with suffering and indeed with prayers for healing, is an acceptance that this world is broken that this world is in desperate need. More need than even we can comprehend. Even in the midst of great political division and upheaval, justices left, right and centre, confusion and darkness, lies and mistrust. In all of that, our hearts cry out for healing. But if you contemplate that is not even half of it, we begin to work out where the root of the problem is and then where the solution might be found. The reason that bad things happen because there aren't enough good people. We as human beings, we cause mess. We cause hurt, even when we don't even mean to. By the pure fact of being in relationship with one another, we cause conflict. We meant well-meaning. How many of us get frustrated and angry when someone patronizes us by offering us help? They mean well, but it makes us, triggers us in some way. And therefore we get bitter. And we act that out in certain ways and we moan and grump. And then that makes people think bad things about other people. And it just is an endless cycle. The world is in a complete mess. But it is that mess that Jesus enters into. It is into that pain, distortion, discomfort, confusion that Jesus comes to bring deep and lasting healing by establishing his kingdom. For in the resurrection, in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no darkness. There will be no sadness or pain. Somehow we will all be transformed into how we were meant to be, to that wholeness that was promised in creation. This new creation will have lasting impact because we'll have been healed from the distortion of sin and brokenness. We will be washed. And so when we enter into a life of faith, we accept the reality of resurrection. We hold on to it as our future hope. That when Jesus returns and brings this new city of Jerusalem down from heaven to abide here on earth, we will be raised into a new reality. When we enter into faith, we hope for a foretaste of that. And our lives from then on in, preparing ourselves and this world for that new reality. Journey begins with the waters of baptism. Waters which begin the healing process. That river of life that flows through that new city of Jerusalem is seen as a glimpse in the font of baptism. And so we hear this story of Jesus and the healing of the paralytic in the porticoes of Solomon. He's been there, struggling with his more obvious ill health, his obvious unwholeness, and he's been seeking healing. But he's never managed to quite get to the right place at the right time. He's never quite worked out quite how to achieve this hope and dream, this deep desire. The ways in which, as described in the gospel readings, that these ill people receive their healing was for communities and friends and family to carry them into the waters, that as it gets stirred up, they receive the healing that they desire. This man doesn't have that community. doesn't have that person to bring him into the waters of healing. And so Jesus steps out, brings healing to him. It is Jesus that does the healing. This is not to say that the waters mean nothing, that the healings that were done in the waters before this man were somehow a fluke or some sort of aberration of science or whatever. I am sure God's mercy poured out upon them in that way by those waters. But ultimately it is God who brings the healing. And I will say in the next service, as we enter into the rite of baptism for Evelyn, that yes, there are people out there in our world who need to be brought to the waters of healing, to enter into a relationship with God who can restore and transform them, and therefore to build his kingdom one person at a time. But sometimes they do need a little help. They need people to bring them to it. For whatever reason, people don't quite find the way to faith. It is our responsibility, those of us who have experienced something of the healing of the kingdom of God, to guide them towards it, that they may receive it too. This is the way in which we begin to minimize the bad things that happen in this world. Because it is the human heart that needs changing. We have a God who does that for each and every one of us. So what is left for us to do? Well, as healed people, and people in a process of healing, we are to stand up, take our mat, that testimony of illness, to walk as a living witness to the transformation of Jesus Christ. Amen.